the emancipation of women, as it's often called, has taken place in this century. Women have been given the right to vote, the right to drink hard liquor in a bar with men, the right to enter the man's world of profession and trade. Perhaps we're in danger of obliterating the distinction between the sexes which God intended. Let's see what the Bible has to say about the place of women. First of all, we want to notice the home, because here as we think of the Bible and its teaching, we realize that this is where the Bible says the woman's life should center. Let me read first in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14. Paul is writing and he says, I desire therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, rule the household, give no occasion to the adversary for reviling or for speaking evil. Paul says the will of God for younger women is that they marry. Marriage is God's will for most women. Now, we know there are exceptions. Some women may feel called to a life of singleness, and some may not be able to get married for different reasons, but ordinarily speaking, this is the normal life for the woman, and this is God's will for the woman that she marry and that she set up a home with her husband. And her life is to center in the home. Now notice how there's an emphasis, too, on the matter of having children. And this should be a desire of marriage. This should be a goal of marriage. And here he says, I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children. What a privilege it is to have children. Now, we live in a day when there are all sorts of methods of birth control, and it's very possible for people to marry and, in a sense, to live selfishly and maybe to go on for years and years and years and never have children, and perhaps even to conclude their married life together. Finally, both of them die, never having had children, never having wanted to have children. Now, sometimes God doesn't give children, and there it may be possible to, in such cases, to adopt children. But certainly, if it's possible for parents to have children, it's God's will for them, and it's a normal thing. I think it's something. There's something wrong with a man or a woman when they simply do not want to have children. It certainly shows a very selfish attitude toward life, and they're missing some of the greatest joys and privileges and responsibilities that one can know in having children. Perhaps you remember the cry of Rachel to Jacob in the Old Testament. She didn't have any children, and she cried to Jacob, and she said, Oh, give me children or I'll die. We read this in Genesis 30 and verse 1. Give me children or else I die. This intense longing for children. And it's a very wonderful privilege to pass on life with your husband, to share with him in this bringing into the world of a new life. What a mysterious, wonderful thing it is. We think of the two becoming one, and we think of from this union there coming a new life, a new person, a new soul, a person who will be forever either with the Lord or forever lost. What a responsibility and what a privilege to pass on life. Not only physical life, but we pass on our spiritual life. We train, we encourage, we direct. What a privilege and responsibility. This should be a desire, certainly on the part of the mother and of the father. Have children, the Lord says to you if you're married. And then this scripture here goes on to say that the woman should rule the household, or govern the home. And he's talking here about all the many little decisions that have to be made. And you know, a mother has a lot of responsibility here, doesn't she? So many things she has to decide on. She has to take the leadership in the home with the children, buying groceries, planning her day, arranging the affairs of the household, teaching, directing, disciplining the children, govern the household. Now, and this is a tremendous responsibility, and it's a full-time job. I'm sure you mothers that have children at home agree with this statement when we think of the responsibility it is and the time it takes to be a good mother, to to guide, to lead the household wisely, so that the home is well ordered, so that it's a pleasure to come into it. A well-guided home. And this is the responsibility now of the mother. And so this is her work as a mother, as a wife, to be one in the home, governing, guiding, leading, making it a place that's a delight for her husband when he comes home from work, as he comes in perhaps tired, to come into a home that's orderly, where the children are being taught and trained well. This is a tremendous responsibility for the mother. Now let me notice a few attitudes that we read in Titus chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5. Older women are told to train younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sober-minded, chaste, workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed or spoken evil of. In other words, so that in every way they'll be an example, and that others, as they look on, will see that this home is a credit to the word of God and to Christianity. He begins by saying, love your husbands. Wives, love your husbands. In other places, he tells husbands to love their wives. It's a two-way street, isn't it? But nevertheless, here's the wife's responsibility. Love your husband. Now, this is not just talking about an emotional feeling. He doesn't say here, make love to your husband. But love him. Be concerned for him. Be interested in him. Have his welfare, his well-being as your goal as a wife. Don't be selfish. Don't think that he merely exists for you, but do all you can to make his life happy. We know this should also mark the husband and his relationship to the wife. But here we're thinking especially of the wife. So the first thing now, love your husband. Be a good wife. Do all you can to make him happy. Of course, we know you must put the Lord first. But we're speaking here especially of a Christian home where both husband and wife are believers and, of course, want to basically put God first. Now, besides loving your husband, love your children. The exhortation is younger women should be taught and encouraged to love their children. Now, this includes, of course, showing love to them, showing affection to them, taking them in your arms, hugging them, kissing them. A little child needs affection. As they grow older, they sort of want to push you away, perhaps, especially the boys. They think this is sissy stuff. They don't want mother particularly loving them as they get older. But yet they need love. They need care. They need this interest in them. And mother, this is your privilege. As that child comes home from school, he needs to realize mother's deeply concerned and interested in me, interested in how school has gone, interested in all of my problems. She loves me. She's concerned. There's nothing more important for you as a mother than to show love to your husband and to your children. It's far more important that your children know this than that you go out and take employment so that you can have a few nicer things, perhaps a new car, perhaps a camper, perhaps a vacation that you've been looking forward to. These things are going to pass away, but your children will bear forever the marks of your love. And so what a need there is for this. Homes where mothers really love their children, where they're concerned to train, to discipline, because love is not soft. This doesn't mean be easy and constantly stick up for your children and ignore their faults. But love is concern for the well-being. And many times it will be more loving for you to be strict with your child and to spank him than just to gloss over things that he does that are wrong. But love your children. There's the exhortation to have good judgment, to be sober-minded, not to be frivolous, to have good judgment. There's the exhortation to be moral, be chaste. As a wife, as a mother, you must realize that you're married to one man. You must think of no other men. You must be absolutely loyal to the one that you have married. You took your marriage vows. You promised to be faithful until death would part you. You need to remember this. There's so much looseness today. I've been shocked even to see some magazines in which articles were written by women saying that extramarital affairs even deepened their love for their husband. This is nonsense. This is wickedness. This is rottenness. God's word says, you be chaste. You're to think of no other man. You're to have no other relationships with any other man except your husband. Be chaste. He says, be domestic. Be a good homemaker. Workers at home. Your home is your little kingdom. And this is a place that you can make a very delightful place for your husband and for your children. A place where they'll look forward to coming. Good meals. Attractively served. An attractive home. Clean. Orderly. And a woman can put in so many nice little touches that a man simply can't do. To make that house a real home. A vase of flowers here. A little display here. In one way or another, to add touches of beauty to a house so that it becomes a home. Mothers, he says here, you be a good homemaker. And then there's this stress here on subjection. Your husband is to take the leadership in subjection to their own husbands. And we must remember this. And it's difficult in the day in which we live where this difference between the sexes is so broken down. Now, let me go quickly to the local church and think of your place here as a woman. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12, the apostle, as he's writing, says this concerning women, "Let a woman learn in quietness with all subjection, but I permit not a woman to teach, nor to have authority or dominion over a man, but to be in quietness. Let a woman learn in quietness with all subjection." So that here, the attitude the woman is to have in the local church is that of quietness and submission. In 1 Corinthians 14:34, he says, "I do not permit a woman to speak." That is, a woman in the local church is not to preach, is not to take a place of leadership. She's to be a follower. The man's to take the leadership. And the scripture emphasizes this. This will make for a happy church, even as taking your place properly in the home will make for a happy home. Oh, there are so many things you can do. Teaching Sunday school, teaching women's classes, various activities, being a witness wherever you are. A godly Christian woman and mother can have a tremendous influence on the world around.